I met Alice on a cold morning in January at Pete's Place, the Interfaith Community Shelter on Cerrillos Road. She was there to take a shower, to have coffee, and to browse for some clothes.
Hi. Oh, you're here. This is a new thing.
Getting clothes?
Shelters.
Shelter Executive Director Joe Jordan Berenice calls Alice a sovereign, meaning that Alice is effectively her own country and independent. Alice has been homeless for more than a year and a half. She spent a part of this time living with her dog in her car in the Pete's Place parking lot, but the car broke down and had to be sidelined.
My dog right now, because my car is broken, is permanently a resident of the kennel here. So she stays overnight here, and I go elsewhere.
Over these last 19 months, Alice has never once spent a night at the Interfaith Community Shelter. Where she spends the night is a mystery. The reason she gives for not staying overnight?
I, on principle, have refused to do the intake. And in a larger sense, because I just, on principle, don't give information out. And whenever I can not give information out, I fight to be able to keep my privacy.
There's another reason as well, which is a practical reason. Alice has no ID. And because of one of her favorite words, a fluke, it's going to prove very difficult for a homeless woman in Santa Fe to replace her birth certificate.
So much of my property was robbed. And by fluke, I happen to have been born in a county, the only county in the country the federal government will not take replacement documents from without a federal investigation that takes months. Can't get any ID replacements. This is worth hearing because the deputy registrar was selling citizenship papers for quite some time. So in Jersey City, New Jersey, Hudson County. And the feds discovered this somehow in 2004, came in and took all the records. You can look it up on the internet under Hudson County birth certificate scandal.
Encouraged by Alice to look this story up on the internet, you better believe it that I did. And in fact, someone who wants to replace their birth certificate, who was born in Hudson County, runs smack into a bribery scandal that dates back to around 2003. Last I checked, a birth certificate replacement would require a person to turn up in person in Trenton, the state capital. Here's Ben Myler. He helps sign homeless people up for replacement IDs at resource days at Pete's Place.
Without an ID, you cannot get food stamps. Without an ID, you can't go in, you know, many establishments. You can't get a bus pass out of town sometimes. You can't fly. You couldn't apply for really any benefits, get a housing voucher. You can't get an apartment.
Even indigency, it's a hospital requires. They apparently have an indigency program. And to qualify for the indigency program, you have to get certain statements from a certain government agency.
In case any listeners have experienced the real ID process involved, for example, in replacing your driver's license, consider this. Ben Myler.
The problem with the birth certificates and the Social Security card, to get either of those items, you need the two other items, an ID and a Social Security card and a birth certificate. So sometimes I meet clients in a space where we really have nothing to start off with, and we have to contact, you know, the hospital where they were born to see what records they have and find out where their birth certificate is, work with, you know, other organizations who they've stayed with and see what kind of documents we have.
Have a headache yet? I wonder if after the time that I've spent at Pete's, my point of view has changed about the difficulties that I often complain about in my day-to-day life. I also wonder about Alice, because with this being the situation, as Ben Myler just explained, Alice also prizes her privacy. She often tells people no, she doesn't want help with IDs because her privacy is really important to her. And the longer I talk to Alice, the more I realize that, like most people in the world, homeless or not, she has her reasons
Yeah.
Our conversation is touching my heart because your principled stand is costing you personally a lot.
It's costing me a huge amount.
This story rings personal for me because the longer I know Alice, the more I see her on resource days having coffee and waiting for her shower and going outside to take care of her dog in the kennel. Her dog has a roof over her head while Alice does not. The more I watch all this, the more I want to say to Alice, please, please abandon your principles, do the intake, and sign up for the services. She says that there are a lot of things that she's not eligible for.
I might, perhaps because of practicality, be forced to become open to them, but until I get to that point, I really want to deny any of the services the ability to take my information on the promise or illusion, possibly even, that they may be able to help me.
The obvious question is, how do you live without any public assistance? How do you live? How do you eat?
I eat by coming here for lunch, which they still let me do, although they don't want, they're now doing intakes for lunch, the day service, the three-day day service, which they didn't do a couple of years ago, and I'm refusing to do that. But so far, they're feeding me lunch and letting me take out enough food for dinner. And for other needs, I am left to the interesting situation of panhandling at my wonderful senior age. I was recycling metals, but now they've gotten not worth, the value of them is so low, it's not worth doing it. So I rely on panhandling and collecting food here.
I go home from this particular resource day feeling helpless.
I've had enjoyable experiences across the board, as well as horrendous ones. But it's a very dreadful situation to be in.
Feeling like we've come to this strange place in the world where we have to show proof of things all the time. Feeling also struck by a person of Alice's obvious intelligence and making a promise to her that I'd pass along the suggestion she has for the shelter. She wishes, for example, never having been a drug addict herself,
I think there really needs to be filtering.
That there could be some filtering mechanism between those who use drugs and those who don't. Maybe that might change her mind about staying here. She says she finds it shocking the amount of drugs that wind up being in the vicinity because of the reality of the drug addiction of this population.
I think the needle drug thing needs to be separated, and I really hate to say it because I'm very open and accepting in my personal life.
She allows that everybody needs a roof over their heads, even though she doesn't want to take this particular offer.
There's a huge piece of property behind this building that I heard might be available. And it might even be good for people. So the noisy people scream and yell and bang on the tables can go have their fun. And other people that want a more sedate environment, a more wholesome environment, can have a place to have that happen.
And she's pleased to have made her dog comfortable.
And she actually, through a fluke of good fortune, got moved to a kennel that is perfect in size for her. And the situation, she seems very happy there, content with how things are going.
I know that as in reporting the other parts of this story, a lot of my assumptions, call them, about homeless people have been put to the test and failed. They've meant really that I need to hold a mirror up to myself because a lot of what I've learned is about me and the way that homelessness can incite fear because it's that thing that many of us are truly afraid of.
I just need a top, God. Come on, that goes with me. That just took that. May not work.
We'll be continuing reporting on homelessness in Santa Fe in the coming weeks and months. For KSFR News and Wake Up Call, I'm Ellen Berkovich.